ship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. I lift my eyes unto these hills. Almighty God has made. Each mountain shouts, each valley fails to see the Savior's spring. Oh, sing the Savior's praise. Come one, come all, let's gather and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. Lord, I put trust in you. Never be ashamed. Mighty God has rescued me, and I will praise your name. Oh Lord, I'll praise your name. Come one, come all, let's gather and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. Come one, come all, let's gather and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning.
Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord.
Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord, praise to the Lord.
Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and who walks in his ways. Good morning and welcome again to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Our fellowship luncheon directly follows this morning's worship service, and everyone is invited to enjoy good food and fellowship right here. Our second service will be at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and all are welcome and invited to join in that service. This being the last Sunday of the month, all other activities are canceled this afternoon. At our Wednesday evening prayer service, our brothers Victor Laurel and Greg Tomlinson will continue presenting the series Learning from Genesis, utilizing Ken Ham's video production and discussion. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 21, verse 13. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, and let us begin our worship with hymn number 442, Praise Him, Praise Him.
Thank you.
continue our worship now with hymn number 268, How Firm a Foundation. Stand as we sing hymn number 234, Wonderful Words of Life.
Standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our High Priest. And as a church body, we want to praise your name for your might and power, for your wisdom, for your kindness and mercy, and especially for the grace bestowed upon your people so that we may know you and follow you. We thank you, Lord, that everything we are and everything we have is because of you. And Father, how wonderful you have set apart a day in this busyness of our life so that we can come into your house and say, thank you, Lord, and praise your name and learn from your word the secrets of life so that we may walk holy before people and before you. We thank you, Lord, that in your wisdom you have given us a wonderful nation called America, a unique nation in the history of the world, a nation ruled by men. And Lord, how precious it is to look into the history and to know that these men that came to America, were men who had the highest degree of understanding of God and the supremacy of God and the might and power of God and the freedom that God has bestowed upon our life. And in view of that greatness of God, these men created a nation with great power where mankind is respected and valued. Thank you, Lord, for our founders. Thank you for the people who came and the sacrifice they made. And thank you, Lord, for the wisdom you gave them as they labor in preparing the Constitution and the bylaws of our country. Thank you, Lord. It's unique among the nations of the world, parallel to the nation of Israel, where you gave them the Constitution of the Ten Commandments. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so now, in a moment of crisis in the entire world, as President Bush is confronting himself and confronting the Senate and his advisors about decisions to be made, which will involve all of us, Father, I pray that you will give our president wisdom, calmness, and the certainty of doing your will above anything else. Lord, I pray for the Congress, and I pray for those soldiers who are ready to go in war, that you will protect them, and that you will give them the strength of knowing that they are doing the right things at the moment our president will command them. Father, we also pray that the families who are left in America will be at peace because they have the God of heaven in their side. Lord, we pray also for other nations of the world for their understanding of what America stands for. And we pray for Iraq, a nation who is not godly at all. They have a God who is not the God of heaven. They have a God who is not the God of the Bible. And so, Father, we pray that in your mercy and grace, you too may reach the Iraqi people, that they too may come into the kingdom of God. Father, we are grateful that we have missionaries around the world. Fred and Carol Lewis, away in Siberia. Carol and Ruth Knotts in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Maritza Perez in the beautiful Benal Madena. The South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in this place in Morgan Hill. We have, oh Lord, also the Association of Sport Ministries with the young people in San Jose. Martha Peretti in Argentina working with the drug addicts. And Daniel Lacey getting ready for starting as a chaplain again with the races here in America that will start next month on February. Thank you, Lord, that beyond our radio broadcast, our internet broadcast, our tape ministry and CD ministry broadcast, we have actually people who are reaching other people because our church is target on people and focus on Jesus. And so, Father, help us to convey our ministry to everyone that Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus alone is the Savior of our soul. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided help to us and that you have provided a body that sometimes as we grow older feels the decay but it still functions. Thank you, Father. But we pray for those who are sick, our brother Jack and Mary. We pray for our brother McDool that he may recover. We thank you, Lord, that he is here. We pray for Thomas Magni, Lord, that he be in these moments of crisis with cancer in advance, he will be taken by you and control his mind and care. And whatever he learned from childhood will come back to his mind and that he will embrace Jesus even in this very difficult moment of his life. Lord, we pray with thanksgiving for Mildred. She's here with us today. After going through surgery after surgery, thank you, Lord, that you have provided hospital, doctors, the search of science on behalf of God's people. Thank you, Father. And now, Lord, thank you for your provision. Your people are extremely generous here at the Thel Baptist Church. They give with sacrifice. And I, as the pastor,
I'm overwhelmed by their kindness and their wonderful willing service of the heart, even with their finances. We know that we are in difficult times, and many other people are without jobs. But the budget of our church have kept clear and on the black. And we thank you, Lord, for the good administration and for the good giving. So bless the giving and bless the offering. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
The Bible stands, oh, yeah.
passed away. The lips of God have spoken. Every word I will obey. It will stand each as we give it, for its author is divine. God will give me strength to live it and to prove it and make it mine.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the fifth book of Moses called Deuteronomy, verses 4 through 9. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 121. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine mind, upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Blessed is the word of God.
Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence because of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have not left us to our own devices to perish, but have sent your Son to be our sin-bearer and our righteousness, that we may ever be with you. We thank you for the Bible and that we have come to know you through the Scriptures and the work of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for both the simplicity and also the complexity of your Word, and pray that you would strengthen us by the Spirit, that we may be obedient to your Word, and teach it to those who will hear. We pray for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him in his words as he comes to expose the word of truth, and that we may understand and obey with true knowledge and wisdom, and that your name may be glorified. We pray for all those listening here and on the radio and internet, especially for those who do not know the joy of your salvation, that they may believe the gospel of peace, and be reconciled to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. And we are engaged in the morning service for this month of January of the year 2003 in the study of the battle for that's important on the 21st century. The battle in America for the 21st century. Our first sermon has to do with the battle for your mind out of Ephesians chapter 6, as you remember. The battle for your mind. And in the 21st century, if you are not well informed, you're in danger of believing a lie. And so it is important to be very well informed. Then the sermon that have so many copies out, as never I have a sermon with so many copies out of this church, was the second one, the battle for normalcy. The other day I saw my good friend Greg making again copies and copies of people who requested these. That day the internet was open to us, and the battle for normalcy, how to be a normal person, shakes the boots of America. And I have received letters from the Congress, letters from Ohio, from different statesmen and different states that want to recognize something that is not normal. And how can I be a cruel man, speaking in that way, and with a loving God? And I tell you, it makes my life really exciting. Because for 29 years, I spent time in radio, and when you're in radio, you are in public service, and everything you said is recorded and filed for demands, and I've been in court 2 or 3 times for what has been said. But I tell you, you never fail when you point the Bible. You never fail. And the American courts don't want anything to do with the Bible. I remember in Chicago one time when I said, the Bible said, and the judge interrupted everything, and he said to the one who was accusing, he said, you heard what this man said? He said, the Bible said. That's what he told you? He said, yes. Well, then, who cares? He said, the case is over. See, that's America. The third sermon was the battle for life. Of course, the dealing and the target of the sermon was the evil of abortion. And I don't get any email more than 4 or 5. I was surprised. I thought that I was going to be bombarded by this, but God knew it, and so he shut off the internet connection that day. And so only was a broadcast of KKMC. See, America is quite different. The East from the West. Again, for 29 years, I had the privilege to fly back and forth every week across America. You have one America in Georgia, another America in Texas, another American in New York, in Connecticut, and another American in the West. And so the East is more constitutional than the West, and more patriotic, per se, than the West, more traditional in that. And so they catch up with the issues. Well, today's sermon is going to bring a lot of requests, I guess, and it's the battle for education, the battle for your mind, the battle for normalcy, the battle for life. And we conclude today the battle for education. God's willing, February and March, I will dedicate it as we study the church of the living God. And we don't have to guess. Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3 are letters of God to the churches. And so when we study those letters, we will know what God says about church. But today, I want to talk about education. And many of you in our church, I will say 95% of our people, they study with their children in home. It's called home schooling. 4,000 years ago was the only school you have, home schooling. And 2,000 years ago was the only school you have, home schooling, and so on. And so that's where it is. And so in order to really get ourselves in the Word of God today, let's pray that God will bless us. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the music today. So many styles, so many ways to express our praise, our glory, our adoration to you. What a privilege we have today in lifting up our voices in songs and praise as a symbol of seeking for your face, seeking for your truth. Lord, you speak right now, and let me get out of the way so that thy word and thy truth exclusively might be heard, received, understood, and by thy spirit apply into our very lifestyles. For this is our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is about the time of the year, to be exactly April 19, 1993, when all the papers in America were telling story about the death of 80 people called the Davidians in Waco, Texas. Do you remember? And our Attorney General, Jane Reno, was being questioned concerning the culpability of the U.S. government and the freedom of those people to believe what they want to believe. And many people, as you remember, were calling President Clinton for a special prosecutor who will examine exactly what took place in that situation. And that was the headlines in our land 10 years ago, the atrocity of Waco, Texas. By the same token, no long ago, John Ashcroft, and I think that's the way you pronounce our attorney general name, John Ashcroft, our present attorney general, was in the front page of the newspaper with the accusation of the abuse of power. Do you remember that? Ashcroft have abuse of power, and special prosecutors are being considered upon him because he abused his power. You may ask what John Ashcroft is doing as an attorney general that he abused his power. Well, here is what a Washington Post said had been discovered. That John Ashcroft, before he started his day at the office, he was found praying. The Washington Post in America said, there is a general attorney who is guilty. Of what? He prayed before he started his work. He was found praying at his desk. And on the top of that, it was found that he was reading the Bible. He took the Bible to the desk of a general attorney office in America. And he is guilty. That's what the newspaper, Washington Post, says. All of these in his office. And even worse, they have witnessed that he invite any employee who wants to pray with him. Can you imagine a man inviting another man to pray in America? That's illegal, they said. And we need a special prosecutor. The Washington Post reported that an anonymous employer said this intimidating, that they say it is favor to one employee because you come to pray with him, and then the other employee will not come to pray with him. So he was in favor of certain employees and without any proof. But one employee who do not want to be quoted, he said this: this is unconstitutional. You cannot pray in America. Unconstitutional. We need a special prosecutor who will stray the matter. Because, they said, listen to this, there is a separation between the state and the church. And therefore, is unconstitutional. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where we are in America today. This is where we are in America today. But I thought there is a situation that could be more overwhelming. What if an, a school teacher, I thought to myself, in our public school want to pray before the class? What about it? And open the Bible and read the psalm and invite the students and other faculty members to come and pray with him or with her. Imagine that. That in a school teacher, whether a man or a woman, opened his Bible and the book of Psalms and said to the other teachers, would you like to sit down with me and read the Bible? And let's pray before we start a day. I thought, what about that? You know, the Supreme Court already said that is on public property and will not take place. Like a public property is not you. You know what public property is? There's you. I remember I was in the city hall one time. And he said, you cannot say that in public property. And said, what is public property? He says, public property. Private property is me. I own this. I pay taxes. I own the city hall. And I said what I want to say. That's why we are in America today. They get the politician out of me. Really disturbed. In other words, we have created a culture where the Lord Almighty, God, is not welcome in the marketplace anymore. We have created a culture where the Lord God Almighty is not welcome in the government anymore. What do we pray when the Congress starts the session then? We have created a culture where the Lord Almighty is not welcome in our public schools today. That's the culture we have created. We have in America a godless society, and that is the culture and the society in which we live, and that's the people that you elect to government to be over you. Perhaps we need to ask ourselves this question. A godless culture in America? How did it happen? How did it happen? So let me share. I never bring a book other than the Bible to the pulpit. I want to say this. In 29 years, I'm a pastor. I never brought a book other than the Bible to the pulpit. But it's today my honor to bring to your attention this book written by an executive of General Motors. I like Ford more than General Motors, but this is written by a General Motors executive in business. And the title of the book is The State Against Religion. All right? If you don't like it, I want you to talk to the person who gave it to me, Dr. McCormack. All right. Now, I put this book on the shelf, the big troop away. I put it on the shelf. And as I was studying this sermon, this book I have for a year, as I studied this sermon, I said, I need information of somebody who is way executive, who is not a government, and who had dealt from an executive position with employees to find out what it is. And that's what this man is. This man was on the head of 1,000 dealers, on the head of 35,000 employees. And he had to make some decisions. And he dealt with something of history that you need to be informed. How in the world we became a godless society? Well, this is what this man says about the human manifesto. You understand the human manifesto? I don't know if you know, but there is one. He says that John Dewey, the father of public school philosophy, as we know it today, is responsible for everything. Dewey believed that mankind should rely on its own resources, abilities, and motivations to achieve its goal without reliance on or reverence for any supreme being. Woo! That scary to you. And if somebody say that, I call that person an unbeliever. But if somebody say that and write an article, and that article become part of the school program in America, that is insulting to our God. And if you are sending the children to public school, that's what they are getting to. Let me just glance some of the manifestos. Humanism, said way, rejects traditional religions such as Christianity, and here comes Judaism. That place their faith in a supreme being. Humanism, he says, number two, is a religion, and is so recognized no less than 13 times in the manifesto. I thought that we are separated from religion. Humanism is a religion that places its faith in here and now, just like 1 Corinthians and Acts 17. And a belief that man alone is responsible for the realization of his own goals and destinies. And on and on and on, John Dewey lay out the whole matter, and in 1933 became part of the school, and today is engraved in every school teacher. And they think that the First Amendment was written that there is a separation between a state and religion. When Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to the Baptist Association in reference to the importance of religious people to be part of the government. I want to tell you, education is a key to a godly society. In 1982, I personally, with Raquel, 81 and 82, went to Nicaragua in the heat of the revolution. Walking on the streets where the machine guns were sounding, but preaching in every seminary who was the headquarters for the army. And one day they had the idea to put the broadcast on the air. And at that time, Commander Ortega, that later on became the president, hear it. And he wants to talk to me and visit with me. So I took my wife. I said, if I die, I die together with my wife. I don't want anybody to get my wife. So I went with my wife. President Ortega is a short fellow, and he likes my wife. She's short, so he likes my wife with the arms. And we had the greatest meeting for 2 or 3 days. And I asked him permission to go to every school and read the Bible. He said, yeah, go ahead, do so. He said, you are not afraid. He said, no. But please, he said, as you go to the school and read the Bible, look the library and come back to me. So I look into the library. My friend, first grade, you open a book, you see an American soldier killing a black person in Georgia. In the other side, you see an American soldier trickling somebody over. You see white Americans separating the Spanish. I mean, these embedded on the 4 and 5 years old and 6 years old, only pictures like that. And they let me see it and so on, and I read the Psalms for them. And then on the last day, I met with President Ortega, and he said, do you see what I did? I said, I know. He said, well, Pastor Otero, you read the Bible all you want this week, but I tell you, he said, in 25 years, I have a different Nicaragua. He was right. Thank God that after 5 years, they kick him off. But I tell you, if by the mercy of God, that president was not out of power, he was right. You take your children and you feed your children whatever stuff you put on, and when they are 25, they are what they have been fed. So, my question is this. We are in church today. And pastor looks like a politician. But he's not. Is education in the Bible? Well, let's see it. All right, we go to Deuteronomy. Let me share with you three things. The value of education, the source of instruction, and then the one who gives instruction. All right, three things that the Bible talks about. The value of education, the source of instruction, and the one who is given instruction. Now, the value of instruction. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 1, book of Proverbs, chapter 1, and verse 8. How do we become educated? How do we start education? What do we do? Proverbs, chapter 1, and verse 8. Look at what Proverbs 1:8 says. My son, My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Hear the instruction of thy father. Shema. Now, Shema is a very wonderful word in Greek, which in Hebrew, which means you listen with the idea to absorb and obey. It's like in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents. No, it doesn't say obey in the original. It says, children, hear your parents. But it's used, an army word is used there, apokuo, which means you obey the one talking to you like the one talking to you is a sergeant and you're a soldier. And that's the word here. You learn by listening, all right? You learn by listening. So that's what you need. Now, let's go to chapter 6 in the book of Proverbs and verse 23. Chapter 6 and verse 23. Look at what the Bible says. For the commandment is a lamp. Now, what is the commandment? The Hebrew word used over there is the word Torah, which means the law. And what was the law for Israel? Excuse me. The Torah was the first five books of the Bible. That was the Torah, the law. And so the Torah is a lamp and the law is a light. If it's something that is going to give me instruction, if it's something they're going to teach me, physics, sociology, chemistry, it's something they're going to give me the basis of this universe, is the Torah. The Jewish Bible. Yes, the Torah. Because God spoke in the Torah. Actually, if you come here on Wednesday night, you will learn the book of Genesis in a marvelous way. The key to our understanding is the book of Genesis, the Torah. Go to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. Whose loveth instruction loveth knowledge. Whose loveth instruction loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is a brutish. I never heard in America that word bruto. That's a Latin word. But in South America, if Brother Joe is laughing there in the back, he was in Chile, he knew that. If you are in South America and the teacher call you and you miss something on the board, the teacher says, you're a bruto. That means you have no learned. You're an unlearned person. You don't want to be called a bruto. And so, see, you have to love instruction. Children, young people, you have to love school. And I don't know if I ask you, what is your favorite subject? I don't know which will be. I hate chemistry, but I love physics. And the Lord put in my school in a chemistry teacher that was awful. I mean, she dressed all the time in black. She walked in the room, the flies went away. I mean, real, real bad character. And I always sit on the front. And she will come in and said, oh, Mr. Otero, that's the way you are treated like a real person. And that was only high school. She will say, Mr. Otero, will you come to the board and write these formulas? And she will quote it and write it. And she will say, don't look to the left, don't look to the right, don't look in your hand, because she knew I had things in my hand. I went to my daddy, said, I cannot take it anymore. A woman controlling you? She said, how come a man is controlled by a woman? He said, you know what the solution was? You love what you study. Come with me. Let's go to a lab. And we went to a lab, and I start seeing the formulas. And I get a love for chemistry. And then I passed the class with flying colors. Love instruction. The value of instruction. You need to love instruction. You need to love instruction. You know how a child gets to love instruction? Well, you start reading the Bible to a child. Somewhere, somehow, during the Bible reading, there will be something that will enlighten their mind and caught their attention, and that's it. So the value of instruction, the Bible places a tremendous power on the value of instruction. You want to be instructed. You want to know. Now, what's the source then? If you study physics, you go to a book of physics. You study chemistry, you go to a book of chemistry. Where do I get the real source of instruction. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy, faith book of Moses, chapter 6. Our brother read it for us. And let me read verse 6 and verse 7. The source of instruction. Look at what the Bible says. God is telling Moses what the source of instruction is. And God said, and these words, that the Bible, which I commanded thee this day, the Torah, shall be in thy heart. The teacher need to have that in thy heart. I knew when I was 13, 14, I knew if the teacher was just teaching for money or was teaching because he loves what he was teaching. And children know that. So the word of God should be in your heart. And what do you do after? Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto whom? Unto thy children. Before Andrew learned in Sunday school the word of God, Jovi and Dana need to teach them the word of God. You got the picture? See, Andrew, you see it in the front? I see it. All right. Now's how it is. The source of instruction, the source of instruction is nothing less than the Word of God. People say, well, you are reading the Word of Moses and that is Judaism. Well, let's go to the New Testament, to 2 Timothy, and look at what the Bible says. In the book of 2 Timothy, the Bible will tell you, chapter 3 and 16 and 17. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Paul says to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. I mean, totally equipped, truly furnished, and do all good works. Not only you will learn about God, you will learn about the universe, and you will learn about everything that later on you learn in high school, and you learn in college, and you learn in graduate school. The foundation of knowledge is the scripture. That's what Paul says. Now, you want an example of this? All right. I want to go rough. I thought in letting you see it, but you can take note and see it in your home. Let's say we are studying the science of sociology. Where the man came from? Okay. I say, I'm going to mention a scripture. You take notes because my clock and we're on radio don't let me read it. Where did man come from? Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. Man was created by God in his own image. Man doesn't look like a monkey, like National Geographic tried to tell our children. I wrote so many letters to National Geographic. I said, I'm subscribing to you and I'm ashamed. Will you write an article if I write to you? This business of, I came from a monkey, I don't like that. Do you came from a rat? I ask the questions. Genesis 1, 26, 27 said, that I'm created by God. That's important, that's sociology. Where people come from? From God. Now, where the generations come from? I just run through Genesis for you in your mind. The generation of Adam, Genesis 2. Verse 4 to Genesis 5. The generations of Noah, Genesis 6, verse 8 and verse 9. The generations of the sons of Noah, Genesis chapter 6, verse 10, and the entire chapter 10 of the book of Genesis. The generation of Terah, the father, you know, of Abraham, chapter 11 of Genesis. The generation of Abraham, the Iraqi, they came all the way, the Iranian, they came all the way from Iran to be the founder of the Jewish nation. Chapter 12 of the book of Genesis. The generation of Isaac, in which the promise was given. Genesis chapter 25, verse 19 and verses that follow. The generation of Jacob, Genesis chapter 25, all the way to 26. You see, the Bible gives you the real sociology, where people come from and how the families develop. Yes. Yes. What about physics? When we're talking about big science. I remember my physics class, 1,500 students. I sit right in the middle beside a nice, good-looking girl. I sit in there, right there. 19 years old, second year of physics, listening. The guy had the courage. In a big platform, great doctor's degree, he writes, mankind came 4 million years ago. And everybody taking notes. I stood up. It was a Catholic university. I stood up. I said, sir? He said, yes. He said, I'm that man over there. He said, how do you know we came 4 million years ago? So I just told you, I don't care about you. How do you know? This is physics class. We support facts by evidence. What's the evidence? 19 years old. I can't believe it. I have all of this in my mind. Where did this come from? He said, well, he said, you know, the world evolved. Who told you that? He said, sit down. No, I don't want to sit down. This is a Catholic university. We support God. Oh, boy, it was quiet. No, no quiet. They like it after all. No class. I was brought to the dean. See, that's how communism starts. There is no God. Go with me. I want to shake your boots. Go to Genesis 1:1. Raquel and I, actually Raquel called my attention on this. So I want to show it to you. Genesis 1:1. Look at what the Bible says. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I don't want to deal with the word bara created because that's the sermon in itself. But God created everything. Look at verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the depth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Okay. Now look at verse 3. And God said, let there be light. Now, please, go with your eyes to verse 14. Looks like a contradiction. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven. Wait a minute, God. In verse 3, you create a light. And then here, what is this light? Do you mean, God, that there was light without the sun? Yes. If you can fly beyond the sun, you will have a light that you cannot take it. The light of God. Would you and I see it again, that light? No. Look, let's go to Book of Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 23. Look at how beautiful. It's physics. People say, well, the sun is the light. No, sir. Light is light. Light is the essence of the presence of God. The sun is just an instrument in the hands of God to only give light. Do you know that the sun only give light to the earth? Otherwise, when we fly to the moon, everything should be enlightened in the universe. I wrote to Texas and I said, guys, did you learn something from this trip? Oh, you get forms back. I said, wrong. Did you learn that the guy flew in darkness when the sun gave you light? Why light was not reflected in the ship that goes up to the moon? No answers. The answer is God only created the sun with rays to the earth only. Just to say you're going to be in the morning and you're going to be in the evening and you're going to live so many days. God rules the universe. But concerning light, he gave light to everybody. When we get to heaven, Genesis 21:23 said, and the city had no need of the sun. In other words, in heaven, there is no need of this secondary light, neither of the moon to shine it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. You see that? Remember then John 8:12. Jesus in Jerusalem. He was walking on the dark side of the holy temple. And he looked into the mountain and said, I am the light of the world. Of the world. Not the light of the earth. Some translation said, the light of this age. Wrong. I'm the light of the cosmos. And cosmos is not the earth. Cosmos is the full creation. Now physics, you learn positively, you learn in a mighty way that God has created light. Light is energy, is heat by extratropic heating. Heat something and produces light. That's how light is. Everybody knows in high school this. So here you have light. And God heats nobody. He's there. And what is producing life from God? His glory. His glory. And then God said, I want to create the earth. And he created the earth and said, I'm not going to limit them. I'm not going to be there shining for them. I'm going to let the sun here heat the stratosphere around the air and create lights so that they can have light. And in the night, they will die without rest, but they need light. So I create the moon on the other side who reflects the stratosphere heat. And produce, that's why the moon is dark on one side and light on the other. And I said to these guys, have you read the Bible in Texas? It's fantastic. What you are saying to me is that when you fly to the moon, you see only what man see. And if you can pass the sun, we will see God. But you never can do it. I can do it because I'm a believer. And they think I'm not as can be. But my brother in Christ, you are a believer, and the Bible teaches you that as a believer, you have the light of the world in your heart, and the light of the world is not only intellectual light, it's not only a spiritual light, it's light, light, light. So much that when we go in heaven, the city that God's prepared have no need of the secular light because God is light. Whoo, this is great. I have 22 more pages, but I have only 3 minutes. So I give you now, fast as I can, 7 or 8 basic conditions of Genesis and Revelation. Just think for a moment. You buy the tape later. There is an earth, a division of light and darkness, Genesis 1:4. There is no night in heaven, Genesis 21:25. There is a division of the land and sea on the earth. Genesis 1:1, there is no more sea in heaven. Revelation 21 and verse 1. The earth is ruled by the sun and by the moon. Genesis 1:16, no need of sun and moon in heaven. Revelation 21, 33. Man is born in a prepared garden. Genesis 2, verse 8 and 9. Man is in a prepared city, Genesis 21 and verse 2. God cursed the earth, Genesis 3:17. There is no more curse in heaven, Genesis 22 and verse 3. We have a promise of redemption in Genesis 3:15. We have redemption accomplished in heaven, Revelation 5, verse 9. In verse 10. Ladies and gentlemen, I just have proved that this is a complete book. From the very beginning to the very end is a complete book. So what is the battle for education in America? It's not about physics. It's not about chemistry. It's not about sociology. The battle for education in America is that we cannot teach that there is a creator. The battle for education in America is that we cannot make use of the Bible as a textbook, as was in my time when I studied physics in my Argentina. And we cannot teach our Christian heritage to our young people because Satan knows that as soon as you are taught, you are equipped with the truth of the living God. Then, Pastor, if this is the chaos in America, if this is the situation of America, are we now in the hands of Satan? No, ladies and gentlemen. What's the solution? Please, now I want you to see it. Open your Bible in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. What's the solution in America? Proverbs 22 and verse 6. I know, Mama and Papa, you're going to get busy, but that's what it is. Look at what the Bible says. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You get your children trained by you in the things of God. Train it. Spend a little money, send it to a Christian school. Spend time educated in your home if you have the talent to do so. You need to have the talent. Then when they become 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, they have in their heart the truth of God. They go to university. And the teacher will say crazy things. Oh, the atoms say this and this. And I spent until 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning with my daughter, who was in Davis University, explaining that the Bologna the teacher has said is here in the Bible. So when you answer, I said, the test, for the sake of God, said, according to the book and page so-and-so, memorize what you learn, memorize the page, memorize every detail, and get in 100, no less than 100, because that's my requirement. And then you go over there, and you write down, according to page so-and-so, and according to doctor so-and-so, here's the result. And for 5 continuous years, for 3 continuous years, she finished pre-medical school in 3 years. She took summer classes. And for 3 continuous years, she did it. And the last year, the chemistry teacher came to her in her apartment and said, I have a question for you. I said, yes. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yes. So I am. He said, I have to teach this. But I noticed that in every exam you said, according to so-and-so, and pay so-and-so, and according to this doctor, and you said in little letters, there is more. And when the teacher has said to you, what is it? Come to my apartment. Now's your ground. Now's your territory. You can speak of God from wall to wall. You see, we are not at the mercies of the American society. No. We are never at the mercies of Satan. Satan will never have power on his people or in his church. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail. We need to get busy. And we need to get busy with our children. After all, your riches is your family. And this church stresses family. If you have 12 children, and the Dulilos are working on that, you are, I tell you, you are the richest people on earth. I'm just getting to the new news waiting every Sunday if it's another coming. I tell you, I want to have 12 children. They only give me one. But I told my mother-in-law when I married, I will have 12 children. She said, oh, my little girl. But I tell you, as I taught millions in the world, I will teach them. Stop seeing television. Stop enjoying something that you do and get your children trained in the Word. Get the physics, get the chemistry, get everything that comes to learn and show them that the Word of God from cover to cover teaches the glory of God and the power of God and that God already gave us this. Mankind discovered that the earth is round in the year 1942. But God and Isaiah already say it. Mankind discovered the law of gravity, you know, in the 1800s. But God already said it in Isaiah. See, God is God. Not only he feed you intellectually, he feed you so that you understand physics, chemistry, sociology. The key then is, do you have God? Have you come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that he can bring you as a high priest to God? Saved and washed by his blood. It's humbling. Nothing that I have can justify me before God. That's right. But Christ can justify you. He can take you, regardless your race, regardless your nationality, regardless the color of your skin, regardless your language, you can go to God and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And God hears sinners and saves sinners. I am one of them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the great lesson that we learn in education. We are brainwashed by society, but never alone. You have left for us a great and wonderful victory. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Help every parent to have the time to read the scripture and to show the young people that the world in which we live not only was created by you, but was developed by you. Oh, give us wisdom, patience, kindness, gentleness. And against this society who is so ignorant, give us patience so that we can teach them, as Paul said to Timothy, perhaps if we teach with kindness, they will believe. May someone today believe that God is God. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Will you stand please for prayer?
I want to remind you that we have fellowship Sunday, last Sunday of the month. Our last service will be at 2 p.m. But I invite you to stay, and there's always plenty of food for all of us to enjoy a moment of fellowship together. Heavenly Father, we are challenged constantly by the world to be a living witness of what we believe. And sometimes we confess to you we are tired, we're exhausted, or we are busy, and we put aside the education of our children, who are the most important thing you have given us. Beyond money, beyond our ability to know, you have given us, especially to mothers, out of their womb, you have given child, which is herself multiply again. Lord, give us a disposition that with kindness and with patience, we may teach them. And if they go to a school, help us to review what they learn, to be sure that everything is related to you. Yes, education has changed America for worse, but we are not defeated. We have the Almighty God, and we have the truth of thy word, and we are thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.